Title: Clean Jungle 808 Tail with Crunchy Sampler Texture in Ableton Live 12 Advanced. Alright, let's build a jungle and drum and bass ready 808 Tail in Ableton Live 12 that's got two personalities at once. First personality: super clean, solid, mono sub that holds the groove in a 170 plus roller without smearing the drums. Second personality: crunchy, sampled, slightly unstable mid texture like you resampled it through some old box and rechopped it. But crucially, without touching the sub or destroying headroom. This is an advanced workflow lesson, so I'm going to talk like a coach. We're not just chasing a sound one time, we're building a repeatable rack, with gain staging, macros, and arrangement moves you can reuse in any project. Session prep first. Quick but important. Set your tempo around 170 to 174 BPM. On your master, give yourself room, work like you mean it. Aim to keep the master with about 6 dB of headroom while you build. And on the sub layer itself, don't let it fool you by beating loud. A good target is peaking roughly minus 12 to minus 8 dB FS on that channel pre-master. The reason is simple. Saturation and crunch stages at level fast, and if you start hot, you'll end up mixing while clipping without realizing it. Create a new MIDI track and name it 808 Tail Rack. Now choose your source. You've got two good options: start from a clean 808 sample, or synth a super clean one with operator. If you're using a sample, drop it into sampler, not simpler. Sampler gives you the fine control that matters when you start mapping macros and shaping tails. Turn warp off. We're not looking for warp artifacts, we're looking for stable pitch tracking. And if you plan to do any loop or fine edits inside sampler, turn snap off so you can place things exactly where you want. If you're synthesizing, load operator. Oscillator A is a sine wave. Set the amp envelope like this. Attack basically instant, 0 to 3 milliseconds. Decay somewhere in the 600 to 1300 millisecond zone. That's a sweet spot for DNB tails. Long enough to roll, short enough to manage. Sustain all the way down, minus infinity. And release around 80 to 200 milliseconds so it doesn't click off unnaturally. Then add that classic 808 knock with a tiny pitch drop. Set pitch envelope amount around 10 to 25%, and pitch envelope decay around 40 to 90 milliseconds. Small moves. You want knock, not laser pew. Coach tip: if you go the operator route, consider resampling a few notes to audio later. Even if the synth is perfect, that resample step often gives you the sampler era vibe, because you naturally commit, trim, and treat it more like a piece of recorded sound. Next, build the two-layer system. Group your instrument into an instrument rack, Command or Control G. Then create two chains inside the rack. Name them SUB Clean and Crunch Mid Texture. And here's the rule that makes this entire technique work. The sub chain is allowed to be boring. The crunch chain is allowed to be exciting. If you try to make the sub exciting with distortion, stereo, or bit crush, you'll get a low end that feels impressive in headphones and collapses in a club. So we split responsibilities. Let's do the SUB chain first. Before anything, add a utility at the very top of the SUB chain. This is your input trim. You'll use it constantly. Anytime you change processing later, compensate here so your decisions stay musical and not louder equals better. Now add EQ8. Put a high pass filter at 20 to 38Z, steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. That clears rumble you can't really hear, but absolutely feel in your headroom. If your source has that boxy bloom, do a small bell cut around 180 to 300 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB, with a gentle Q around 1.2. Only if needed. Optional compressor next, and I mean optional. If your tail is uneven note to note, use a gentle compressor, ratio 2 to 1. Attack 15 to 30 ms, release 80 to 150 ms or auto. You're aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction max. If you're getting 6, 7 dB, you're not controlling, you're reshaping. And that might be cool, but it's a different lesson. Then add a utility at the end for mono and final trim. Set bass mono on, or set width to 0%. The sub must be mono. Trim gain until this chain alone sits confidently without bulleting your mix. I'm going to say it out loud because it's the mindset shift. Solo the SUB chain, and if it sounds kind of plain, you're doing it right. It should feel like a stable foundation. Now the crunch chain. This is where we create that sampled, resampled, crunchy energy, but we protect the low end like it's sacred. Again, put a utility at the top of the chain as an input trim. Treat it like a calibration knob. Crunch workflows fall apart because people adjust drive and bit depth and accidentally add 8 dB. Then every tone change is actually just volume. Don't do that. Trim into your processing. First device on crunch is EQ8. and this is a hard split. High pass at 120 to 180 HE. If your distortion keeps sneaking low end back in, go higher and go steeper, like 48 dB per octave. The point is, nothing below that line gets to enter the distortion and bit reduction stages. If it gets cardboardy, do a small dip around 250 to 400 HE. That's the box zone that piles up fast when bass lines are busy. Next, add saturator. Mode, analog clip, drive 2 to 6 dB, soft clip on, and trim the output so it's not louder than bypass. The saturator's job here is to create harmonics for the next stage to chew on. Bit crushing a pure sine is boring. Bit crushing harmonics is character. Now add redux. This is your classic old sampler shortcut. Start subtle. Downsample around 2 up to 6, and bit reduction around 12 down to 8 bits. Start at 12 and walk it down until the texture appears. Add a touch of noise, like 0.5% up to maybe 3%. It's tiny, but it adds that dusty edge that reads like hardware instead of clean digital bit crush. And here's a coaching boundary. If it starts sounding like a frying pan, you've gone too far. The best jungle crunch is crispy, not fizzy. After redux, add auto filter for movement, not wobble. Use a low pass 24 dB filter. Set frequency somewhere around 2 to 6 kHz to tame fizz. Resonance low, maybe 0.10 to 0.25. Then add just a tiny LFO amount, 2 to 8%. Rate sync to 1/8 or 1/16. The aim is that subtle alive instability you hear in resampled basses, without turning your bass into a dubstep modulation demo. Then add a compressor to glue the crunch. Ratio 3 to 1. Attack 5 to 15 ms. Release 50 to 120 ms. Aim for 2 to 5 dB gain reduction when it hits. We are controlling spikes so the crunch sits in the mix like a layer, not a separate instrument that keeps jumping out. Finally, add utility for stereo management. Since we high-passed, we can allow some width. Try width around 80 to 120%. Bass mono stays off on this chain, because we already removed the bass. If it pokes too hard, trim gain here. Now, make it playable and fun. Macros. Go to the rack's macro controls and map these. Macro 1. Sublevel. Map to the SUB chain's output utility gain. Macro 2. Crunch level. Map to the crunch chain's output utility gain. Macro 3. Crunch amount. Map it to redux downsample or bit reduction. I like bit reduction for dramatic sampler steps, and downsample for more digital grit. You can pick one or map both to a single macro if you're careful with ranges. Macro 4. Tone. Map to auto filter cutoff on the crunch chain. Macro 5. Tail length. Map to amp decay in operator or sampler's amp envelope. Then give it expressiveness. In operator or sampler, set velocity to volume to a modest amount, like 10 to 25%. This makes the bass talk. Optionally, make velocity open the crunch filter slightly, so harder hits have more bite, softer hits stay round. Coach note. This is one of the simplest ways to mimic the human feel of old jungle resampling, because the texture isn't constant. It reenacts. Now let's write a classic jungle or roller style MIDI pattern and make sure it sits. Make a one bar loop at 172 BPM. Keep the note choices simple. Root, fifth, octave movements. Rhythm wise, think like this. A solid hit on beat 1, a little pickup on a 16th offset around 1 and, another solid moment around beat 3, and then a ghost note just before 4 to push you back into the loop. Then go to groove pool and try an MPC style swing, but keep it subtle. 10 to 20%. The point is feel, not a drunken bass line. If it locks, commit it. Now we manage the tail in a real arrangement, because long bass decays at 170 are always fighting the kick. Method 1 is sidechain ducking, classic and effective. You can put a compressor after the rack on the track, or group the bass and do it there. Sidechain input from your kick, and optionally the snare if you want extra space. Try ratio 4 to 1. Attack super fast, like 0.5 to 3 ms. Release 80 to 160 ms. Set threshold for about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction. Then adjust release while the full drum loop is playing. This is big. At 170 plus, time constants matter more than you think. If your bass feels light, it's often not the MIDI. It's the release time. If the compressor is still letting go when the next kick arrives, the low end feels like it's leaning behind the beat. Method 2 is clip-based tail edits. This is the surgical jungle approach. Freeze and flatten, or resample your bass to audio. Then use clip fades and tiny volume automation dips right before the kick. Even micro dips can clean up the groove without you having to shorten the decay on every note. This is how a lot of super tight rollers stay huge without mud. Now, one of the most pro-sounding moves in this whole setup. Crunch only on accents. If the bass is gritty all the time, your ears get tired and your drums lose clarity. So automate the crunch level macro. Bring it up on fills, turnarounds, call and response moments, maybe the last two bars of an 8-bar phrase. Then keep it lower during the densest drum sections, an especially slick trick. In the last half bar before a new section, increase the crunch amount while pulling the crunch level down slightly. Psychoacoustically, it feels more aggressive, but your RMS doesn't jump. That's how you keep the mix engineer part of your brain happy. Let's add two monitoring habits that will save you hours. First, put spectrum and tuner after the rack, or on a dedicated bass monitoring return. Leave them there. You're constantly checking three things. The fundamental is stable, the crunch chain isn't accidentally adding low end back in, and your tail isn't getting longer because of release and ducking interactions. Second, do a mono and small speaker reality check. Temporarily put a utility on the master and set width to zero. Listen at very low volume. If you can't perceive the note movement, your crunch is probably too polite, or your sub is too pure and doesn't have enough upper harmonic support. Remember the rule: if you can hear distortion down low, it's probably too much. You want feel in the sub, character above it. Quick pro add-ons if you want it darker or heavier.